big storm takes place in the middle of today's gospel, big bagyo, and it's not hard to imagine it because we've been passing through several days now of stormy weather. So we all know what strong winds and heavy rain is like. We all know what floods and cancellations are like. There was even an earthquake on Friday. Did you feel that earthquake? In the case of the apostles, they were in the storm at sea. And in some ways, being on the water is even worse than being on the land. They're on a boat. They're miles offshore. It's dark. They're in the middle of a severe storm. They're being tossed about by the big waves. And it's Jesus' fault. He's the one who made them get into the boat. He made them get into the boat and go to the other side. He was safe on the land. He was praying by himself on the mountain. And they were seemingly abandoned out there in the boat, in the storm. It's a great, great gospel passage, and I love reflecting on this one. Partly because the experience of the apostles represents the experience of all of us, and especially Peter. We'll get to him in a minute. But every difficult test that we face in life, and we have many of them, we have many storms in life, they're all represented by this experience of the apostles in the gospel. You could say this mysterious incident represents our whole life, especially our whole journey of faith. Let's back up a little bit, though, before we get to this passage on the water. Let's go back to what happened just before this. We read it last Sunday. The story of Jesus when he multiplied five loaves to feed 5,000 men. So what did the disciples experience that afternoon? Jesus told them to feed the crowd, but they couldn't do it because all they had was five loaves. It was impossible for them. Jesus told them, give the loaves to the people. He told them to do something that seemed absurd. It seemed impossible. And it worked. God worked an extraordinary miracle for that crowd. So the lesson, very fresh in their minds, this is just a few hours before the boat ride, the lesson was that if they do what Jesus tells them to do, even if it seems absurd, it will all work out fine. That seems to be the lesson. Which brings us to today's gospel. The crowds were fed, then they were dismissed. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and cross to the other side. Now, to these apostles, most of whom were experienced fishermen, it probably already seemed like a strange request, if not foolish, because they could see that it was getting dark. They could see that it was getting stormy. Why cross now? And why go without Jesus? But Jesus insisted, so they went. They probably thought, we learned our lesson. We do what Jesus says, and it will all work out. Just like what happened with the loaves. It all worked out better than we expected. But instead, this time it doesn't seem to work out. They encounter this bad storm. The wind is against them, so they can't do what Jesus told them to do. He told them to go to the other side. They couldn't do it. The wind was against them. That's bad enough. But then comes another surprise. Jesus comes toward them walking on the water. Now, we know he's the Lord and he can do what he wants. And the apostles should have known that this was the Lord, the one who could multiply the loaves. They should have been happy to be in the presence of the Lord. But their reaction was not one of faith. It was one of fear. In fact, they were terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost, as if things are getting worse, not better. Now, we can learn something important here. As I say, this experience represents all of us. And we can learn that we should not limit our faith to the expectation that everything will work out, that we will live happily ever after. Not in this world. Now, it's absolutely true that God takes care of us, and it's absolutely true that he provides for us and he protects us, and it's absolutely true that we can trust in him and that we should do what he says, yes. But things do not always work out the way we expect or the way we demand or even the way we understand. If our faith is too superficial, if our faith is too shallow, then when storms come up and things don't work out the way we were expecting, then we'll be overcome by fear rather than living by faith. And this is where the disciples are. They're in fear. And that's where many people are. In fact, probably all of us, much of the time, because that's the natural reaction to danger and to problems, fear. Well, this is where Peter comes in and he takes another step, and literally takes another step. When Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid," Peter makes this bold statement, putting his own faith to the test, you could say. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Something Peter knew was impossible, and everybody knows it's impossible. No one can walk on water except the Lord. Jesus says, "Come. Come, yes, by all means, come to me. Get out of the boat, walk on the water, come to me." It's a call from the Lord, not a command exactly, but more of an invitation to trust in him and to depend on him. Come to me in moments of fear. And every step of faith is exactly like this moment in Peter's life. To live by faith, we have to take the risk of trusting in God. It's essential. We have to do what God says, even though it seems absurd, even though it seems foolish at times, even impossible. The right thing to do is to do what God says. And anyone who's ever made a decision of faith knows exactly what I'm talking about here. You know what Peter's doing here if you've ever made a step in faith, and I think you all have. When we step out in faith, we say, I will go even though I don't know how, even though I don't have enough money, even though I feel foolish, even though people might think I'm foolish, and then even though I might fail, I might sink, I might be misunderstood, I might be rejected. None of that matters. I'll go because Jesus said, come. That's faith. And now we can imagine what the other terrified disciples were thinking when they saw Peter starting to step out of the boat and into the big waves. No doubt, they said, don't do it, stop. Don't do it. Don't get out of the boat now. This is the worst time to get out of the boat. It's dark, it's stormy, there's a ghost out there. What are you, crazy? Stay with us. We have to stick together in bad times. But Peter, to his credit, he climbs out of the boat. Not because it makes any sense to him, not because anyone else expects him to. He does it because of the one who calls him. Because Jesus says, come. In fact, that's the only reason to take a step of faith. Because the Lord calls us to. Not because we think we can do it, but because the Lord invites us to. And it works. Peter walks on the water. Success. Until something goes wrong. And this is part of our experience too. No? Maybe Peter expected the wind and the waves to die down when he got out of the water. I don't know. After all, he was doing what the Lord said, and things should work out when we do what the Lord says. But Peter looked around and he found himself in exactly the same dark storm, same waves, same wind, as he was experiencing when he was in the boat, but now he's alone out on the water. And suddenly things look worse than ever. And I say, this can happen to any one of us. We start out well, we make a good step of faith, but then we realize the problems that we were facing are still the same, or the circumstances are still the same. We're still in a storm. Still facing winds and waves and problems just as strong as they were before. And so we falter, we doubt, we fear, and we begin to sink. We should not expect that when we step out in faith, it will mean we don't have any more problems. We still have problems. There's lots of big waves in our lives. Whatever, running out of money, unemployment, family problems, strong temptations are big waves. A lot of people experience the social media as big waves, keep getting knocked down by these big waves, or keep sinking when they get caught up in their scrolling habits. In fact, all bad habits are big waves. Bad relationships are big waves. Lots of big waves. We shouldn't expect that when we take a step of faith, that they'll all suddenly be calm. Or what went wrong in Peter's case? It wasn't the storm itself that was the problem now. It was Peter's focus. He turned away from the Lord. And that's when he was overcome with fear. He turned away from the Lord. See, in the journey of faith, even as we walk on the water, we have to keep our focus on Him, on the one who calls us, because we're still facing stormy seas. Anyway, Peter gets frightened. Fear makes him sink. Fear makes us all sink. If we give in to fear, it makes us sink. And Jesus explains to him what happened. Oh, you of little faith, not even big enough, not even a mustard seed. Little faith, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Well, he could say, I doubted because I saw these big waves and I felt the big wind and this is impossible. That's why I doubted. Standing on the water, it's impossible. That's why I doubted. But see, that's none of those things are the problem. The problem is that he turned his attention away from the Lord, that is, away from faith. And when we turn away from faith, what are we left with? Fear. And he was overcome with fear. So what should we do when fear seems to get stronger than our faith, or when fear is making us sink? The only solution is to make another act of faith. Cry out to the Lord. This is what Peter does. This is beautiful. He cries out to the Lord. Not a formula, not a ritual, but a cry from the heart. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. A person-to-person encounter. He looked at Jesus and said, Lord, save me. And that turn of his attention away from the waves and the wind and the storm and all his problems, and his turn to the Lord is what made it possible to be saved. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. That's the way it works with faith. Faith makes it possible to do what's impossible. Faith makes it possible to be restored when we're sinking. So anytime we call out to the Lord in prayer, it's a right response. One good example of this is when we go to confession. When we go to confession, we're saying, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, free me. Lord, I'm sinking. Save me. Catch me. It's a beautiful prayer. And a confession is a very powerful sacrament as well. So let us never forget in our fears, in all our storms, that the Lord is not just a miracle worker. He's not just a source of miraculous bread. He's not a myth. He's not a ghost. He's not an ideology. He's not a system of government. He's not just an idea. He's not a far-off judge. He has not abandoned us to face our problems or our future all by ourselves. No, he's a savior. That's why when we identify him as savior and say, Lord, save me, he does it. A personal, loving, powerful Savior. That's who Jesus is. And he's with us in every storm. He's with us at every moment. This is what we know by faith. That's why we can always call out to him, no matter what we're facing. And when we do call out to him, Lord, save me, he does it. The storm may not disappear, or maybe it will. Sometimes it does. But we're not alone in the storm. We're with Jesus, and he's holding us by the hand. So choose not fear, but faith.